Up, Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Podcast.
They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5. Horoscopes.
Aries.
Your mood is going to be affected by a few small things today. Try not to worry about them. Keep your focus on the work that needs to be done.
Taurus.
Be aware of your body and mind. Do not try to push yourself through the workday if you're feeling groggy, because you might make a mistake. Your work will still be there tomorrow, so take it easy today.
Gemini.
You shouldn't be involved in any of those tensions at your workplace, Gemini, even though, you know, you're quite the cantankerous one. It won't serve you well today.
Cancer.
Your body looks the same as it did yesterday, but today, how you think about your body might be different or positive. Enjoy this great feeling.
Leo.
Your professional and personal lives are getting serious, Leos, and you're in a good mental space. These new changes have you feeling positive, energized, and enthusiastic.
Virgo.
Ensure that you're not hiding today and that you look your best everywhere you go so that you can make a great impression. This attitude may open doors for you.
Libra.
Now you're going to start paying attention to your finances and being a little more careful with your money, Libra. It's a good time to cut back and be smart about how you spend.
Scorpio.
There's a lot of moving parts in your life that involve many people, meaning that there's no room for miscommunication. So stay positive and be as clear as you can.
Sagittarius.
You can accomplish anything you set your mind to, Sagittarius. You are much more confident now, and nothing can stop you from achieving more goals.
Capricorn.
Today, you're going to need to think outside the box, and it might be good to go down a path that's full of uncertainty.
Aquarius.
Perhaps today's events will bring up something that you've been trying hard to forget. Your interactions will be affected by the emotions attached to them as well.
Pisces.
Keeping to your daily routine will serve you well today, Pisces. Don't veer too far from it, regardless of temptation.
Wow. All right. There is your astrological heads up, everyone, your horoscopes. And they're all online right now at chum1045.com. Just click on the Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar page.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
When you wake up.
Mornings on Chum 104.5.
No, your calendar app is not broken. It is Wednesday. Crawling this week, but we are here and we're getting through it. Let's get it started. 5:28. Don't forget at 8 o'clock. We're gonna get you inside the seat of the brand new car, the Nissan Rogue Platinum. And Wednesday morning vibes, how you feeling?
Pretty good. I saw that Rogue in our parking lot. It's got Chum written all over it, but before you get it, We'll take it off.
Unless there are a few people who would actually want to keep it on.
Yeah, if you want to keep it on, we're good with that.
That would make you
an official
team member.
Right, that's right. Yeah, so that looks good. Yeah, really good today, actually. It's a little chillier than I want it to be for May 18th, but, you know, we're approaching the long weekend. Doesn't feel like it, does it?
No, it doesn't. It feels
I don't know why. Last weekend
was the long weekend because the weather was so nice.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I feel like I've defaulted in my head. And
sure.
I'm like, oh, that was the... No, it's this
That
weekend.
Wasn't, yeah. But it's this weekend, so that's cool.
Yeah, well, you know...
Get you ready for that.
It would make a long weekend, you know, very, very fitting to have a long week leading into that long weekend.
That's right.
So that's where you land today on your Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look forward to that long weekend, yeah, we had the weather last week. This week... the cold, the gray, and a little bit of the rain. But a day off will do everyone a little good.
Yep.
What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know, let me know.
I think so far that's my song of summer. I really, really, I know
it's
summer
really
hasn't
great.
Really started yet, but.
No, it did last week. You can say that.
Yeah, great. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Harry Styles' new album, Harry's House, is set for release tomorrow at 9 p.m. Pacific time. And the LA Times just did this big sweeping review of it, talking about it, and it's kind of trending right now. They said it is chock full of summertime bops, jubilant horn sections, and lyrical nods to Los Angeles, as well as, you know, some sonic love letters to his girlfriend Olivia Wilde. So she and Harry, if you didn't know the backstory, work together on her upcoming film Don't Worry Darling. He stars in it, and he actually was a replacement for, and now I forget who was the actor prior to him. And they fell for each other, and sounds like they're going really strong based on what he's writing about her in the movie. As an aside, I have a friend who has seen it because he works for a certain film festival, and he loved it. Said it was fabulous. I asked about Harry's performance in it specifically. He said he's really, really good. So I don't know. This guy's very multi-talented. So anyways, the rumor now is that Harry is going to have lots of collaborations on this album. Now, whether or not that's like somebody who's featured or just sort of is credited behind the scenes, not sure yet. One person that we do know is credited is none other than John Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good collab. I like the idea of John Mayer and Harry Styles together.
It's interesting that John is like starting to collaborate with, I mean, there was a rumored Justin collaboration. Now you got this Harry thing. I mean, I wonder if there's something going on with John Mayer where he's trying to branch into the pop space a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, his sounds for some of his like recent singles, very, very poppy. I mean, he's always been a pop guy.
Yeah.
But he is a cool, adventurous, sort of off-the-wall pop star. Mm-hmm. And he's very serious about music, obviously, as I think Harry Styles is. So it's kind of a cool pairing. They were seen together in a recording studio last year, but nobody was sure if they were working together or just happened to be there at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now that there are some leak of the credits on this album, they're like, oh, cool. So I wonder what they're going to be doing, because I kind of like that together.
Maybe sharing nail polish.
Maybe he is sharing nail polish. John Mayer also acts as a bit of a mentor sometimes to like young heartthrobs, because that's the category he fell into.
Right.
And I think he feels, from what he has said in interviews, that he didn't really behave as he maybe should have when that was happening to him. He talked a lot about the women he was hooking up with, and I think he has some regrets around that. And I did an interview years ago with Shawn Mendes, and he had struck up a friendship with John Mayer and said that John Mayer was giving him a lot of advice on how to navigate Hollywood and his personal life. And I was like, yeah, you know, the guy who kind of walked through the fire would be the right person
to
ask.
And who made the fire.
And who created the fire.
Oh, my gosh, he created the fire. So Shia LaBeouf was the guy that Harry replaced.
Yes, there you go.
And Dakota Fanning was supposed to be in that movie with him.
Yeah.
But she had scheduling conflicts.
Oh, very good.
And there you have it.
Yeah, so.
It's going to be a great movie.
So, yeah, that movie will be coming out on September 23rd. Don't worry, darling. Again, so far, the reviews from the one person I know who's seen it, really good.
Okay.
Netflix is also trending. They made a layoff announcement, and people are wondering, you know, does this kind of mark the end of the golden years for Netflix? Not that they're going to be in trouble overall as a company, but just that this runaway growth that they've had, is that slowing down, and are they kind of going to be forced to reevaluate their business model? It sort of looks like that. You know, they announced they're cutting 150 jobs. They've got a slowdown in revenue. They've got a decline in subscribers. And this is because it took other content providers a little while to catch up to them and to come up with their own streaming platforms. But now that they are, there's a lot more competition, and it's diluted everyone's offerings, because everyone has their own like proprietary platform, and people are saying, my subscriptions per month are astronomical in price because I have to have like five different services.
There are whole businesses now popping up that are just dedicated to helping you cancel subscriptions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Companies,
that's
apps. Huh? Because people have so many subscriptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's a big problem.
It is a big problem. So, you know, Disney, HBO Max, they've really cut into the appeal of these other streaming services, because people do have to choose. Everyone has a limit, a household limit on how much they're going to spend before they have to start cutting subscription services.
You cut, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. I've done this thing where I'll cut it and then I'll re-add it for a specific title. Like, we cut it, and then I re-added it for the F1 reality series Drive to Survive. And then when I finish watching it, I'll cut it again. So you kind of get to move back and forth a little bit, and that's what happens, because you look through there, there's a ton of content. It's not always good.
I know, but my question for you with let's say, Netflix.
Yeah.
Do they try to keep you on? Do they try to, is there, like, you know, somehow some providers try to do that?
Yeah.
Or are they just not even trying?
Not really.
Well, they might, you'll see a change. I bet.
Yeah.
No.
We'll see about that.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Yep.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Pass me the coffee.
The Chum Morning Show.
Scanning Twitter yesterday, and I'm starting to see a lot of the people I follow in the United States really starting to get worried about this baby formula thing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of went over my head for two reasons. I'm kind of out of that stage with my child, but I'm also here in Canada. And as I read a little more, it is a big problem. If you haven't heard, there is a baby food shortage in the United States. Shout out to anyone in Buffalo if you could hear us. You were definitely thinking about what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to the average person, this might not sound like the biggest deal, but it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I mean, I could just imagine the terror of a parent. You know, you run out of formula, boom. You say, okay, I'm going to grab my keys and go to the store. And then you go to one, and there's nothing there. You go to another, there's nothing there. And then you're like, wait a second. How am I going to feed this child tonight?
Right, exactly. So there's panic buying happening. And so that's why the shelves are empty, because they don't know when this big, you know, manufacturer is going to be able to...
Panic buying where?
In the States. And so it's now coming over to Canada.
Okay.
So in Quebec, you see some people from the States coming up to grab the formula. And now it's hitting places like Kitchener.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have friends that have sent formula over in Alberta down to people in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to panic anybody right now. Just
no.
That's
no.
not what I want to do by discussing this.
But it is a panic. It is a panic. There's shortages, and people are really concerned. And now there's these things that statements saying, don't make your own formula, right? Like there's, you know, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't know.
It's different. Like there was a recall on certain brands of Abbott formula in the U.S. Mm-hmm. as a result of getting a few babies sick. And so they completely shut the plants down. And so that has contributed to the shortage in the U.S. It hadn't impacted Canada too much, but because we're so closely connected on a trade level, a lot of people just felt this was sort of only a matter of time. We really haven't seen a lot of it here. Mm-hmm. It's also worth noting that in the U.S., about 56% of infants are breastfed up to the age of 6 months. So think of 56% of breastfeeders. But in Canada, that rate is above 80%. So we have a smaller population, but we also have, I think, taken more steps to promote breastfeeding. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with formula. A lot of women really struggle with breastfeeding, and they just supplement with formula, like they kind of do the half and half. But I think that that has paid off and resulted on us being less reliant on formula in general.
Yeah, without putting her business out there too much, I remember that whole process. It was rough for us.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It was crazy. It was just like...
myself, it was awful.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard,
really hard.
You know?
Yeah.
Hard
you
process.
Know, statements like, you know, from a famous singer, why don't you just breastfeed? And it was like, no.
Which singer's that?
That's Bette Midler, who I love and adore, but that was tone deaf completely.
Yeah, she was talking about it and tweeted. She tweeted that, of all things.
Yeah. But that's not what the... Bette...
Has she recalled that or apologized?
No.
I don't think so.
I kind of saw it and was like, you know what? Go away. Then I didn't look at it again.
Okay.
So Canada's helping out the United States by flying some formula. Mm. The FDA in the States is trying to get the factory going a little sooner than later and getting it up and running. But yeah, there's a big concern, Jamar. I mean, it's a big deal. We, as you say, you've gone through that. Can you imagine? No, we cannot. It's a tough time.
Yeah, well, I'm reading now people are texting in that they're taking measures here mm-hmm. to keep the formula on lock. Literally, they said someone said Longo's has baby formula locked up. That's
like
that's
razors.
Wild and condoms.
Yeah. Yeah. Razors, condoms, and baby formula. Do they all tie in together? I'm wondering.
there might be a through line there. I haven't figured it out yet.
Some 104.5. In the morning. Back to the morning show.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
How excited were you to become a grandmother?
Really great. It was so unexpected. I was so thrilled.
Were you ever worried that at some point you know, it might not happen? Were you ever looking at your son going,
get it done? No, not at all, because my parents never did that to us. So I thought, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, my sister beat me. She has two children. She's my younger sister, by the way, too. And, you know, I'm the oldest in my family. And I think my mom was wondering when I was going to, you know, at some point deliver the prize, you know, the grandchild. But I she didn't really put any pressure to me. I will tell you this. When we did find out that we were pregnant mm-hmm. and I told my mother, finally, mm-hmm. I was somewhere else in my head. I was like, my mom's going to freak out. Like, I was just thinking, I'm like, what? I was thinking like a teenager.
Yes, you were.
Because when I finally told her, she was like, great. Yeah. Awesome, finally. I was like, wait, what do you mean? That it was so easy. And that really took a load off of my shoulders.
Because it took you by surprise.
It definitely took me by surprise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess later in life, too, you know, a lot of people have their first children in their 20s,
yes.
or sometimes even earlier than that. This family out of India is having a little bit of a rough time, to say the least. And any of my Indian friends are listening right now, you please weigh in on this and if there's some kind of cultural component to this or not, or this is just a really interesting situation. This couple really wants grandchildren, the grandparents. But 6 years after their son got married, they haven't gotten the grandkids yet. And they are really livid about it. How angry? They're taking their son to court. They're actually suing him for about $650,000 equivalent for what they're saying is mental cruelty.
How much they pay for the wedding? Is that why they're trying to get the money back?
I guess. Oh, yeah. Those weddings are very, very big and lavish, too.
Lavish, yeah.
And they do say, the caveat is that they'd be willing to drop that lawsuit if there is a grandchild within a year of when the lawsuit is. This is really... Now, that is a layer of pressure that I have never heard of before.
My son has been married for 6 years, but they're still not planning a baby. At least if we have a grandchild to spend time with, our pain will become bearable.
Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Man. There's something very funny about that and also very, very troubling about that at the same time.
Here's what the couple's lawyer said. It is a dream of every parent to become a grandparent. Not really. They've been waiting for years to become grandparents. Okay, well, you wrote a story that may not be, you know,
complete. Get over it.
That's a level of pressure. I will say one thing I did remember before we had a child. I remember a lot of people will ask you, so when are you guys doing it? When are you guys having a child?
Oh, yeah, that's a real thing.
That got under my skin so much. I hated that.
So annoying.
Because, like, you're literally asking me about my groin. Like, when is it going to work? Like, it works.
It's awkward.
Trust me, it works.
Awkward.
It's such a personal question that people have somehow tricked themselves into thinking is small talk, and it's so annoying.
Can you imagine?
Because what if someone has fertility issues? What if they've had losses?
100%.
Just leave it alone.
What if I just answered it honestly? What if I just said, like, when are you guys having children? I'd be like, well, I got the safety on the gun right now, so, you know. Like, that would be an awkward conversation. But people feel that it's a very, very appropriate question to ask people.
How do you respond to them when they do that?
I just give the awkward, like that laugh.
You know? A good response. I feel like we should have a good response.
We should. This is how commonplace it is. I had a dry cleaner that I stopped going to because she would ask me every time I went in about this. This is a dry cleaner.
Right.
And I was like, what are you
trying to connect with you? Or?
No, she's just nosy. You know, just those nosy people who have no sense of, like, politeness.
The old nosy Parker's cleaners.
Exactly. And eventually I just said, you know what? I really don't want children. I said, let's just stop talking about that.
Yeah, I know.
Did she stop in her tracks?
Which wasn't even true. And then she started trying to convince me, oh, you don't mean that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to switch dry cleaners. This is my own fault.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. People are very, it's very interesting with kids. Whether you're going to have them or you not have them. It's a judgy world that we live in. Mm-hmm. Really, it is. And then you're very funny, Jamar, about saying when you found out you were pregnant, it's like, I'm 18 and I got my girl.
I totally reverted to like 13, 15-year-old me. Like, my mom's going to kill me.
Worst
I was like 30-something.
Yes.
Like, what am I doing?
Right.
So all's well there. But grandparents who are eagerly awaiting the arrival of that grandchild.
They're not even grandparents yet.
I know.
So that's
I guess that is actually right. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, they're not even grandparents.
They're waiting, for grandparents. And by the way, the son and the wife have not responded. I don't think they are for a long time.
They should send them a video of the actual thing going on.
Oh my gosh.
We got it done.
Yeah. Speaking of mental anguish, we should countersue for the same thing.
Here's the thing. Listen, I love doting grandparents. I haven't even wanted them. Mm-hmm. But you don't want them living with you, mm-mm, raising your child. And this is what I think, this is where this is going to go.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Good luck, everybody.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Pass me the coffee.
The Chum Morning Show.
There's a new TikTok trend that might seem like a new thing, but it's actually a little bit of an old throwback thing. This is popular amongst the Gen Zs. It's called cash stuffing, and that's what they're calling it. You can tell me if you're part of the maybe the baby boomer generation what you call it. What these Gen Zs are doing are they're having money issues, so they're taking cash and they're taking envelopes, like paper envelopes, and then they're stuffing the envelopes with different categories for the cash. So, like, this is car cash. This is house or rent cash. This is food cash. And they're finding that this is the better way for them to budget because things are really, really tight.
Yeah, and they can keep track of the money.
A bit better,
The allocation of what this fund is for your car or for transportation, right?
So check this out. Yeah. Like, my generation, at some point, we weren't even using cash. Like, we were just doing everything electronically, and then all this money, if you could see it, like cash falling on the floor, like mm-hmm, there's money just pouring out all over the place because mm-hmm, all you're doing is swipe
That's
these debit cards.
And you just think it's forever.
And you're not budgeting, and you're not saving, and you're not tracking anything when really, with electronics, you could actually track easier, but it was getting worse to track. That's something I had to pull back a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think so, too, because you don't see it, right?
You don't see it, so I'll swipe here.
Here's what my dad did, because he thought I'd be that person. Yeah, it could have been happening. So he took my sister's baby food jars,
mm-hmm,
and he gave me, you know, for doing chores, the allowance. So he put like one was for church, one was for clothing, one was for this, one was for that. And I had to see him twice a month for budgets to see where the money went. And so let's just say for babysitting, that was extra cash on hand. Anyway, at the end of the day, I could see where the money was going.
Yeah.
And I did take some church money and put it into the clothing budget. I got caught. I got in trouble. But anyway, I was ciphering money. But because he thought that if I didn't see how the cash worked, then writing a check would have been crazy, right?
Yeah.
So cash stuffing is not a bad idea with envelopes, just to track where you're going. It's like you're tracking calories. You know how much this is going to cost you with calories. You see how much this is going to cost you if you keep going to, let's say, getting a coffee every morning.
Sure.
You only have X amount of dollars, so you can only have this week. I like that idea if you need the optics. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's just really old school, but it's new school at the same time, which is really interesting to me. Because, I mean, when you think about, like, you know, older people, you think about, put it under the mattress, you know, get a little jar of cash somewhere. Yeah. That sounds like a really old school thing, but it's back, and it's getting big amongst the Gen Zers. Another reason why they're doing it, too, is they're saying that they don't trust the investments. Everything is tanking.
Mm.
Stocks are falling through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to go crypto, that's like, you know, taking a big, you know what. So they're saying, I'm just going to stuff this cash into an envelope, and I just want to stack it house.
What I love about it, we like stacking the cash here at the station, don't we? But I like that they're doing different categories to see where the money is going.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Because it really does help you if you're a visual learner.
Yeah.
If that kind of thing helps you out, it is really effective, because otherwise, you like you said, Jamar, when we're all digital, I've had to go in, you know, you make a little spreadsheet, and then at the end of a week or two or a month, you go through everything you've spent, and you're like, well, it's already all gone.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
And now I feel depressed about my choices.
Don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't see it. And think about, you know, when you were little kids, didn't you think that that machine in the wall was just burning out money anytime you want it? Like, oh, gosh, there's some more money.
Well,
so there's no, like, you're right. You didn't deal with cash.
I thought it grew on trees, personally.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
But that's my timer. It's time to.
What are you timing?
Cash alert.
My computer to go back.
Okay, good, good. I thought it was timing how long I talk.
Whoa, that's great. This is my computer has to be down for 30 minutes.
Very nice. Text us at 104536. Let us know. What place did you hide cash, either as a kid or growing up? What was your hiding spot for cash? Are you one of those that had actual piggy bank? Did you go under the bed? A shoe?
Mattress?
Or maybe you did the old brassiere trick.
Well, that's
anybody?
When I don't have a purse. That's when I don't have a purse. I stick it in there.
Got you.
Wake up. Mornings on Chum. With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Emotional support movie. I've never heard it quite worded like that, but it is a very, very good way to word it, because sometimes you just need something in the background, just something to kind of, you know, fill in the space.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's kind of quiet at the house. You know, you just want to, something that you've seen before that makes you happy, but you don't have to sit down and actually put all your attention to it.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I do. You ready? Hit it, Ruby.
You stay where you are. I have an intruder in my house.
You don't understand.
I'm dating your daughter.
You're dating my daughter?
Now, who would have thought that would be worse news?
Something's got to give.
Yes.
Diane Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Amanda Peet, Keanu Reeves, and Frances McDormand. Believe it or not, guys, 19 years ago that movie came out.
Oh, my God.
And it's still fresh today. It's another Nancy Meyers brilliant movie. If you're not listening to the great acting, mm-hmm. you're looking at the great interiors, mm-hmm. you're looking at the great fashion, mm-hmm. you're looking at hopefulness in a relationship. It's just brilliant.
Oh,
it's just brilliant.
The best cameo by Keanu Reeves maybe ever.
He's the best. I mean, I had a crush on Keanu mm-hmm. after that.
Absolutely.
Matrix aside,
he's
one handsome doctor who actually tries to date Diane Keaton, and she's got her eyes for Jack Nicholson. I don't know. I didn't get that point either. But anyway, when I see it, I stop sometimes because I think, oh, this is a good scene.
Yeah.
And then some in the background. Anyway, and it's got a good little soundtrack, too.
This one's got 72% of Rotten Tomatoes. Didn't do bad.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. Okay, so that's the movie that fills in your space.
It fills in the space. And I'm going to say this, too. You know when movies just come up on, you turn the TV on, don't know what to watch, and mm-hmm. you see that you know, title? You go, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to put that on and get some work done. Mm-hmm. All right, Jamar, you're next.
you know, he's got to have a cape on.
Yeah.
But there is one movie in particular in the whole entire Batman franchise that for some reason I just really just like having on in the background, just chilling in the house. Listen.
Miles Wayne, are you coming back for long, sir?
As long as it takes to show the people of Gotham their city doesn't belong to the criminals and the corrupt.
Batman Begins.
Who's in that one?
This is the Christian Bale.
Oh, I like
first one.
Oh, I like that.
A lot of people go to Dark Knight, but there's something about the first one that just feels really good to me. It's the origin story. It's him going through all the emotional battles of losing his family, you know, almost losing Rachel. Like, I love that scene when he screams her name. It's just, and something about it, the way it looks.
If
Dark Knight is very blue and black, Batman Begins is very brown.
It's just warmer.
It's warmer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, 100%.
You get to see inside the mansion.
Yeah,
right.
I like that.
You do get to see that.
Yeah, Christian Bale to me was brilliant in that role.
Oh, and Michael Caine is Alfred. That's some good escapism. I'm a Dark Knight girl, but I love that one too.
Okay. Yeah. It's one that gets overlooked all the time.
How old is that movie?
Oh, gosh, I forget the year.
2005.
2005, yeah, not too long.
See, there you go. 2003 for me, 2005. Mm-hmm. Caitlin, you are up next.
Oh.
She's typing away to find out when the movie was released. Tell us what the movie is. Let's just hear it.
This is from 2011, and this always puts me in a good mood.
I just feel like I'm excited, and I feel relaxed, and I'm ready to party.
Bridesmaids.
I have to agree. When I see that on television, I just go, you know, I'm going to keep this one on because it's funny. Melissa McCarthy just makes me cry. She makes me laugh.
You know, they almost didn't cast her.
What?
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast recently with the director, and he was talking about finding Melissa McCarthy and how they completely changed that role for her. And it just, I loved it so much. But that movie, I was recovering from a surgery one time.
Yeah.
And I had it on to make me feel better. And it hurt. It was a stitch risk. I laughed so hard watching it.
Yeah. So now when you see it or you feel like it, you put it on?
Always.
Oh, that's good. That's positive. All right. That's cool.
A couple good ones are coming in. People say that their emotional support movie is The Sound of Music. I've actually never watched The Sound of Music.
What?
Are you surprised?
I'm not. I don't know why I'm saying.
Are you kidding me? It's very fluffy. Waiting to Exhale. Good one.
That is a great movie.
Yeah. Someone says Waiting to Exhale. Another person says Bad Moms.
I haven't seen that one.
Bad Moms, okay.
Can we go back to Waiting to Exhale again?
Sure.
Great soundtrack.
It was when they were releasing great soundtracks.
Babyface.
Not happening anymore. Yeah.
Someone picked my number two. This was such a debate between Bridesmaids and Crazy Stupid Love. One of the best rom-coms, in my opinion, to come out in recent years. That's a great comfort movie.
Yeah.
Okay, and another person said, not a movie, but the one and only Chum 104.5.
Hey.
All right, you're not the only one.
To the morning show.
Good morning.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
The only way to wake up.
On Chum 104.5.
I just thought of another one.
Yep.
Another comfort movie. Under the Tuscan Sun.
Okay, never seen it.
With Diane Lane and, I don't know, Sandra Oh was in that. And just so good.
Under the
Tuscan Sun. Uh-huh.
Three.
And you know what it was more than that? It was a great song, a great book, rather, by Frances Mays. But the scenery in Italy was unbelievable. I think that's part of, it's like a travelogue, isn't it?
I think any sort of travel destination movie starts to become comforting. I remember, you know those movies that Steve Coogan did, The Trip?
Yes.
He did one.
In Italy.
He did one in Italy. Yeah. I really loved the original that took place. It was him and his friend, whose name is escaping me, touring around Northern England, going to these restaurants. It's just very relaxing.
Yeah. You're in the car with them.
100%.
Okay. What else do we have?
Someone just texted in Anger Management as their emotional support movie.
I don't remember that. Who's in that movie?
Anger Management.
That's Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson, I believe.
That is funny. That is funny to have that on the back. Well, sometimes you want to pop in on a laugh every now and then.
No, like Bridesmaids. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
I don't think I have either.
Okay, I have to check that one out.
Someone says Pitch Perfect, another funny one to have on just in the background. And plus the music, you know.
My girlfriend just texted Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Okay. The ones we have coming in over here.
Oh, I love this 90s one. I must have seen this 10 million times, and it does always make me feel better. It's Clueless.
Oh, as if.
So good.
As if.
So good if you ignore the whole part about Cher getting together with her stepbrother at the end. Anyway.
Right.
Okay. I've not seen that one either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What else are people saying?
Princess Bride.
Oh, classic movie. I am your. Oh God, what's that? I can't remember how he does it. Mandy Patinkin. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Mostly Dead.
Another person texts in their emotional support movie is Father of the Bride.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's the newer version with Steve Martin.
Yeah. I remember that used to give my dad anxiety because he would watch it and he'd be like, people are just going to have to spend what on a wedding? I'm going to have to spend what? It's like, no, Dad. It's just a show.
The Oceans series, like Oceans 11, Oceans 12. Yeah. You know, some of those movies, it's just cool to go back and watch the details over again, the things that you may have missed and pop in and be like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. You know, that's one that's good for that. You got mail coming in heavy right now.
Oh, yeah. Another Nancy Meyers movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's with Tom Hanks and Melanie. No. Short haircut. What's her name?
Meg Ryan.
Thank you.
Ryan. There we go.
That was cute.
Someone else texted in Notting Hill, and I think that's another perfect combo of rom-com, British humor, and a destination.
Correction. Bell correction. Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
Nora Ephron. Sorry. Nora Ephron.
Okay.
Was You Got Mail. Okay. That Notting Hill is fantastic.
So good.
Okay.
I know.
See, that to me is like if I see it around Christmas, that's when I watch it. Don't ask me why. Mm. I just do. Mm-hmm. I guess because there's a Christmas play in it. Is it a Christmas movie?
I think that there is a part of it that takes place over winter.
Okay, maybe that's right.
But that could be.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that might be it. Also, because we're familiar with Hugh Grant from Love Actually.
That's fine.
So it feels like a bit of a crossover.
Okay, I know Jamar doesn't like that movie, but if I see that coming up over the holidays, I will watch it.
Someone else texted in, 13 going on 30.
Sure. I want to be 30. 30 and flirty and thriving.
That was a good one.
Who was in that again?
Jennifer...
Garner.
Wow.
Okay. I almost said Coolidge.
And Mark Ruffalo.
Yes.
That was cute. I did see that movie. I thought it was sweet.
And people have... people don't necessarily have emotional support movies, but they have emotional support TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Many people are texting in Friends. A lot of people texting in The Office.
Yeah.
All of these comfort shows that people just have on in the background while they live their life.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Well, mine would be Community.
Okay.
Great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
God, that's a good question. What TV series would that be?
It's on Netflix right now. You could let Community just run for hours.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours.
Good show. It was a great show.
I like Parks and Rec and 30 Rock for that, probably.
Wow, there's so many ideas of things I haven't seen for a long time or have never seen.
And to realize that we all do the exact same thing.
Sure.
We all watch the same movies over and over again and the same TV shows.
Cool.
When you wake up. Wake up, Toronto.
Wake up, baby.
It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
I wake up early every morning.
Wake up. On Chum.
Got a question for parents out there. This could actually be a little advice for no one in particular. Okay, me. My kid was out the other day with a friend of a friend's child, right? We decided, let's get the kids together, you know? Just build the, what do you want to call, the village, if you will. And I'm like, okay, great. And when he got together with this kid, I noticed that he wasn't being himself. And I was like, okay, he's usually down for whatever. He's usually down to play, and he's usually down to just, like, jump in and get involved with other kids. But for whatever reason, this particular day with this particular child, he wasn't himself. And as the interaction started going on, I said, oh, my gosh, my kid is being a jerk. Like, he was being a... And I just wonder if any other parents... Listen, everyone loves their kid, but there are some jerk kids out there. And I was like... I think my kid is the jerk kid right now. Like, for instance, you know, they're out at the park together and he had this toy in his hand and the other little boy wanted to, he's like, hey, let me play. He's like, no. I was like, wait. I was like, hey, you know, take turns. Let him, you know, and he usually does that with other kids. Take turns with the truck, give the other kid the truck, and maybe they'll even push it together or something. He didn't want to do it. And then when they're running over to the playground, he like ran off by himself. I'm like, there's a whole other kid that we came here with. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have the jerk. The fruit of my loins is not a nice kid right now. And I think I'm a pretty okay guy at times, but he was not being the nice guy that I think I passed on to his genes.
All right.
So my question for parents is, have you ever identified that your kid is being a jerk? It was so...
What do you do?
It was shocking for me because you just, you know, I want to put my kid in front of everybody because I think he's the nicest, most beautiful little warm thing. Not today.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do when your kid is being a jerk?
Well, don't take it personally.
Okay.
He's used to having alone time with you.
Okay, right. Yeah.
This is Dr. Dennis now.
Yeah.
And you have the audacity to go to the park with him with another person and another child.
I know.
Are you paying attention to that other child even for a nanosecond?
And I thought about that. And I'm glad you said that because I said maybe he thinks that now he doesn't get all of the attention because, you know, I'm, you know.
He's been isolated too, right?
Yeah, he's been isolated a little bit. He goes to the daycare. Yeah, but I think like he's, you know. I didn't want him to feel that I was splitting up the love and attention to someone else.
Yeah.
But I was trying to, you know, at least include the other child so he could feel like, hey, we're all here together.
No, that's good. No, that's really, that is perfect. What you did was perfect. So my question is, you know, sometimes you get along with the parents, but the kids don't get along. And that could be a precursor of that, like if, and you go but they played before, you know, maybe he wasn't having a good day.
And this was the fear that I was starting to get. You start to think that it reflects on you because now I'm looking at the parent, I'm just like, are you looking at me like I'm a bad parent?
Yeah, well, a little bit. That happens all the time. I feel that, too. Like, you can't help but feel that.
Then I'm making excuses.
No.
Oh, yeah, he had a stomach ache the other day. Yeah. He had no stomach ache.
He didn't have a nap today.
Yeah, he didn't have a nap today. Yeah. It was pretty early.
What happened? He just went off on his own and that was it?
He went off on his own. At one point, when I said, hey, maybe we all go back to the house and have ice cream. No, he's not coming to our house. I said, what are you saying? Don't say that.
He doesn't like him.
Do you hear what you're saying? I don't know why he was like that.
Well, maybe he doesn't like him.
That's what it is.
Maybe he doesn't like him at this time.
Yeah. I honestly hope not.
Well, this little kid is adorable and doesn't know anything. Probably wants Kofi's attention.
Yeah.
And Kofi that day just wasn't having any of it. You try it again. Honestly, it's just the weirdest thing. Just like we have bad days, just like they say, I don't want to watch Paw Patrol.
Right.
They have an opinion on people. I don't want to eat people.
They do have strong opinions at a very young age, which is really... Yeah, and surprising to watch.
They're pushing their boundaries. I'm not doing that. It's like, and you're saying, which I love, is no, honey, we're out in the park. We have to play with one another. Okay, I'm going to go to the side. Okay, well, I'm going to watch you from here, but I'm going to spend some time over here too.
Sure.
So they see you. They mirror what you do.
I just think of when I was a kid, and there were kids that right out of the gate, I didn't want to hang out with.
Yeah.
I just didn't like
sense something.
Yeah, the vibe was off. I didn't want this to be my friend. Yeah. I don't want them to come over. I'm not spending my Saturday with them. But the conversation is manners. So how do you say, how do you, okay, so we're here now. We won't necessarily do this again, but you can't be rude.
Right.
If we're inviting them over for ice cream, you're going to be nice. And we can talk about how to handle this afterwards. But now it's a conversation about manners. Maybe they don't hit it off. They might not be little friends.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, right.
Well, at least I saw the jerk in my child.
You know? Yes. And you can admit it.
There was a part of it that made me kind of happy.
You know, when I read the rundown and I saw jerk, I thought, oh, Kofi doesn't like jerk chicken? Oh, he's
no, 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 no.
He's being a jerk.
He loves, I mean, probably a little too much jerk in his diet. Yeah. Started coming out in his personality.
You know what? I got to tell you something. You know, with kids going and playing with one another.
Yeah.
You know, even Everly has come home, my granddaughter, and she'll say something to me as if I'm a playmate, which I think I am a little bit, but she'll go, oh, you pushed me. I didn't even come near you.
Yeah.
It's they're exercising what they hear at school. They're putting it out there. They're making, maybe something like that happened to him that day.
Yeah. Expressing themselves, yeah?
Exactly. Yeah.
And a texter said the bigger problem is when parents refuse to recognize or admit that their kids can be jerks. So you're already...
Oh my gosh, they're all big jerks.
You're halfway there.
They're all big jerks. Have you seen that playground at High Park? It's a full-on jerk fest. The other jerk fest.
What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green? Let me know.
Trending in Toronto and all across North America is Harry Styles. The anticipation of him releasing his new album, Harry's House, is at a fever pitch. It is set to arrive tomorrow at 9 p.m. Pacific time. And the LA Times has done this really big rundown on all the different sounds and inspirations and themes. They said that it is filled with summertime bops, jubilant horn sections, and lyrical nods to Los Angeles, as well as what appears to be a lot of sonic love letters to his girlfriend Olivia Wilde.
Nods to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where he lives.
That's where he lives. Uh-huh. Not where he's from, but I mean, I guess he loves Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's been there for a while, and I think it probably really suits him.
That's cool.
And he's clearly quite in love with Olivia. Now, as a little recap, the two of them met on when she was directing her film, Don't Worry, Darling, which he stars in and is set for release on September 23rd. So really, with this album coming out, with the tour going on, with this major title coming out in mid to late September, it's summer of Harry Styles. Like, people are very, very excited about this. And Toronto is also going to be hosting a very rare Harry's House pop-up. So I think we're one of only a handful of cities like LA, New York, London, Paris, Amsterdam. So we're going to be getting one, and it's going to drop on May 20th. So it'll sell a bunch of merchandise in celebration of the release. So make sure if you're a big Harry Styles fan, you keep an eye on what's going to happen there. But yeah, I love Harry Styles. That's my song of summer. I think As It Was is, unless my song of summer has yet to be revealed because it's on his album and I haven't even heard it yet. Yeah, so we'll see.
So good. It's your summer song.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm very into it. A marriage therapist on TikTok is trending. She is revealing one of the biggest complaints that she says women have about their husbands. Now, I've listened to this. This is something that if I get together with dinner with my girlfriends, I'd say 90% of them will complain about this exact behavior. So listen to what she says, and we're going to discuss whether or not we agree this is a number one.
Okay.
Active responsibility would be you looking around the house for things that you could do. Passive responsibility would be being available to help, but waiting for somebody to tell you what needs to be done. Mm. This is one of the top things that I hear from women as a complaint, that their husbands are waiting for them to tell them what needs to be done. And they're really looking for a partner in life who is actively responsible for the house and for the children and not waiting for their wife to tell them what to do.
It's a good one.
Marilyn's clapping. I want to know how many people are giving a standing ovation in their car right now if they can.
So that's what it is.
Yes.
Why do I have to? Yeah, I don't personally experience that. But it's almost, a girlfriend said to me a long time ago, I kind of want to date another girlfriend because she kind of sees the cues.
Yeah.
Her husband at the time, because they were longer married, could not see the cues. Why do I have to be the person that's always saying, hey, let's do this. That needs to be done. Why don't you see that? And I see that.
It creates this nagging dynamic.
It does.
And then the husband says, well, I do it when you ask, but then it's like, but I don't want to always be the person who asks because you're changing the dynamic of our relationship where I'm nagging you like a parent almost.
Yes.
And it's not... It's
exhausting.
It's exhausting. And also, dare I say, not very romantic.
No, and the other thing too is when I do it, you don't like the way you do it, so I just let you do it. That's passive.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so she's talking about the difference between passive responsibility and active responsibility.
Why do I think we're going to get a lot of texts on this?
We already are.
I love that.
You're getting a lot of texts.
I guess.
The disgruntled women are coming through. Heavy.
Heavy. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We taught you a new term today, active responsibility.
Yeah.
So that's apparently what women want,
I wonder. I'd like to think that I'm an active, responsible person, but I'd have to ask.
Yeah, from what you tell us, I would say that you are.
I think I am.
Yeah, my husband is too. But it sort of just depends. It also kind of, I think, depends on maybe the household you grew up in. There's a lot of different factors. But yeah, I also think that he has a way that he likes things to be done himself.
Yeah.
And so he will just like clean things a certain way, load dishwasher a certain way.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's my version of active responsibility. There's certain things that I do because I have to. Like when I walk on the floor, on the ground floor, and I feel things under my feet, gets under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always actively cleaning the floor. Same thing with the dishwasher and dishes and other things that kind of get my goat. You know,
you're on top of it.
I'm on top of it. Yeah. So yeah,
you're active.
I think so.
Yeah.
There are certain things
he's
that
active
I
active too. He's
I was
really,
waiting to look over at Marilyn and be like, Jim seems very active.
He's active.
Yeah. The Colonel is active.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, okay. And that's part of the thing. It's like you don't want to do this by yourself. It's not fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actively avoid folding clothes though. I will tell you that. Actively avoid it. Like I'm not. I'd rather just step on it. Anyway.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
And I wake up.
The Chum Morning Show.
When did Justin Bieber Baby come out again? What year was that? Let me see. Take a guess while I search.
20,
okay, I got it.
2011.
Close. 2010.
Oh, really?
2010.
Okay, pretty
very, very close. I'm just amazed at the reaction of Justin Bieber still.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Like, still.
getting huge reactions. We'll have tickets for him at 8:30.
Yeah, we will. We also have a huge reaction to our topic that we just discussed in trending of active or passive responsibility mm-hmm. around the house.
Mm-hmm.
So active responsibility is when your partner just does stuff that needs to get done. Passive responsibility is when they're available to do it, but they need you to nag them and ask them and give them instructions in order to get it done, which becomes an exhaustive dynamic.
Yep.
And women,
it's
apparently.
Like the parent-child dynamic.
Yeah, and yeah. Women are more commonly complaining about this dynamic than men. And so a therapist on TikTok goes viral because she broke it down and then said there's an actual term for it. So we got a lot of texts. People tend to agree. And I think this one text seems kind of like, it sounds like the definition of what this therapist is talking about. Someone texted in and said, my wife is home more than I am. So she starts the majority of the house tasks. When I come home, I do not want to start taking over and getting her upset. So I will wait until she tells me what I can help with.
You, sir, just case studied exactly what's being talked about.
That's
here.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Crazy. I mean, well, listen. I hear what he's trying to say from a male perspective. What you don't want to do is come home and be, it's a terrible feeling when you try to do something and you're told, oh, you didn't do it right.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't do it right again. And you just, after a while, feel like, hey, let me just not do this anymore.
It's sometimes our fault.
So, you know, maybe there's a thing there that they need to work on. But to your point, sir, you need to come home and actually do some things mm-hmm. to show that you are actively, just like right. we're talking about here, taking part in those chores.
Yeah. Can we go back to what you just said, though? And I so agree with this point.
Yeah.
Is that if you, as a woman, I'm going to say as a woman, mm-hmm. want something done and they do it and they don't do it well,
yeah.
whatever, then you either accept it and you move on,
yeah.
or just say, maybe next time you do it this way. Because if you keep saying, you didn't do it right, why would you do it again?
Yeah, and don't be condescending about it.
No,
yeah. Like,
right. That's not,
don't do that thing.
You can have a nice conversation about it and say, like, hey, like, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So that you don't create that dynamic.
Right.
Because men won't honestly say to you, like, oh, I don't like when you say it like that, but we really don't like that. We really don't. Like, we'll go into a corner and be like, why did she talk to me like that? Like, yeah. inside.
But
to your point,
yeah.
there's certain things that people accept in relationships. Should be like, listen, I do this better, I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
And but have that better conversation.
Yeah, have
though.
That conversation.
And that's great. That's just division of labor. Like, so long as you each have your own thing that you do.
Yep.
Cool.
Like, do not touch my dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it stacked perfectly. Don't touch it.
What is it? Hang on. Kyle, Jim, Jamar.
Yeah.
They have this way about stacking the dishwasher.
Yep. And I'm leaving it. I'm like, you want the dishwasher?
I do my best. I'll put it in. I'll put the dishes in, but it's not perfect.
Yep. Someone else said this also applies to adult children who still live at home.
Oh.
They wait to be told what to do and then complain about nagging.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Another text says this topic is very triggering. It's over. It's done. Wake me
up. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Jump 104.5.
Get up.
And a reminder to keep your toddlers away from your phones and your tablets. This reminder comes from a 2-year-old. This 2-year-old grabbed mom's phone and decided to go on DoorDash. Want to find out what the toddler ordered?
Let's find out.
31 McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Okay, so we got a little bit of an audio thing from mom. Let's see what happened.
31. So I didn't know what to do with him. He only ate half of one. So I posted on a community page and asked if anybody wanted some. One girl came by and picked up 6.
As part of that $90 bill, Barrett actually included a $16 tip.
It's a good tipper.
The 2-year-old is a good tipper.
That's better class. Than most adults, right?
Wow.
That's class.
Okay. That's very funny. Keep the phones away from the kids.
I mean, what do you do with all those cheeseburgers? I mean, she's giving them away, right?
He did order the right thing, I have to say.
He did.
Yeah.
He picked the right order for a 2-year-old, too, but the problem was the quantity. He really only wanted half of one, and instead they received 31 cheeseburgers.
Do you remember that kid that we mentioned right before Christmas that ordered all these presents?
Yes.
And it was box after box after box. And the parents were like, what did he order? I mean, he ordered not only toys, it was furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had this chair and this clock and this thing because he got a hold of the iPad.
Yes.
And made that order
they
happened.
They said it just kept showing up.
It kept showing.
And this happens, you know, parents will see all these packages start arriving.
Yeah.
And they also realize, too, if you set up your Amazon Alexa device to order things when it's voice activated, then children hear you do it, and then they want to do it.
That's
a
nightmare.
And then they hear you, like, you know, I think there was one case where a guy's, I think it was his
bird.
Kid? No, it was his bird.
Parrot.
His parrot heard him ordering pulled pork supplies so often that this parrot starts ordering pulled pork supplies using Alexa.
Pulled pork.
Yep,
that's right.
Yeah.
And so much had arrived at the house.
Oh, my gosh. This is what's going to happen with Kofi and Everly, maybe.
Well, no, Kofi. Everly comes over to the house and she goes, Alexa. And I go, no, Alexa lives here. No, it's just ask for me. Dana, what do you need?
Yeah.
She goes, Alexa, play. This is what she does. Alexa, play Taylor Swift. Now, I like Taylor Swift. We play her on the way back from Montessori. Mm-hmm. But I said, there's no Alexa here. I'll put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
You know, he's controlling the music in our house.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Alexa, play Bob Marley.
Aww.
All the time. I had to unplug Alexa.
At least you like Bob Marley and I like Taylor Swift.
He has good taste.
This is not like, I don't know, Guns N' Roses. Or something. That would not be a good thing.
Play the banana song for the 400th time.
Alexa, Marilyn Manson. Or what?
Chum 104.5.
In the morning.
Back to the morning show.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
I'm hoping that this trend of warmer weather continues. It looks like the weekend is going to give us a little bit of challenges if you're trying to get outside.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow with some clouds rolling in and then some eventual showers. Why did it choose the long weekend?
It always does, Jamar. That's
like, really?
The way it goes. It just does it, and that's just the way it is. You come to accept it. You still keep, you know, like my friend of mine's going up north of Huntsville this weekend to his cottage to open it up. And I said, what's the overnight low? He goes, 4. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll just stay here. Hey, today is National No Dirty Dishes Day. What are you going to do and how are you going to celebrate it?
I'm going to go home and wait to be told to do the dishes, right?
Okay.
Is that what I'm going to do?
I don't know about that. No.
Definitely.
Brought to you by Whirlpool. Who decided we needed this day?
For sure. All right, get them dishes done.
Yeah.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.